Thank you. Hallelujah. So I was just in the ladies' room, and I washed my hands and got ready to walk out. Let me tell you something. The coolest ladies and the best conversation is in the ladies' room. Gentlemen don't even think about it. But I'm not kidding. There was a cute little pregnant lady in there, and it was just, I mean, seriously, when we can let our hair down and just be us, when we can drop off every facade and just know that we're in it for each other, God wants us all to blend together. They're fixing my tag. Who's the lady that gave me a back rub the other night? She rubbed my neck. Oh my gosh. Oh my word. It was awesome. And I tell you what, I had this thing right there and I was trying to carry on a conversation. And I wanted to tell everybody, would y'all just go away? Let me tell you. It was wonderful. I had two scarves made. Honestly, my neck rubbed, two scarves made. Wherever Teresa went, she cut my hair. I mean, she fixed my tag. We're in it together to get the job done in Jesus' name. Now, my precious husband said, I keep forgetting to talk about our book, so he's going to do it because I, blah, 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 right?
Not tonight, it's this morning.
What?
It's this morning.
Oh, it's this morning? What did I say tonight?
You said tonight.
Oh, well.
It won't be tonight till tonight. God, you all can be seated. We have failed to talk about these, and we should. They're available over there on your right, my left. This first one is my book, Unstoppable Increase. It's Seed Faith in a Nutshell. It's available over there. And then there's my newest book, Thrive. You gonna talk about Thrive this morning? Eliminating lack from your life. So your buddy over here, Lindsay.
Thank you.
And then Lindsay's newest, her newest book, A Cry for Miracles. She told a part of that story the other night.
Thank you.
A Cry for Miracles. And then she got an idea from Dr. Cho. I serve on Dr. Cho's International Church Growth Board. I was just there 3 weeks ago in Korea. You know, he has a small church. 885,000 people are members of his church. And she got the idea. They asked him, how have you done what you have done? He said, I pray,
I read,
I pray, and I obey. And that's the title of this book, Read, Pray, and Obey. It's a special book. It's a special 30-day devotional for women. It's available there, and that's going to be for you. And they're all available over there. And then this is my book, He's a Healing Jesus. I was in Niger, and this little girl, you can't see, it's a child, but you can't tell if it's a boy or a girl because she's turned around. A little Muslim girl that was healed of deafness. And when Lindsay saw the picture, I picked her up to hug her. And when Lindsay saw the picture, she said, that's your book cover. For He's a Healing Jesus. There were about 40,000 to 50,000 people that night in that big Liberty Stadium there. And so this is He's a Healing Jesus, and that's for you. And then the last one is the biggest book I've ever written, called Your Road to a Better Life. And I pray it will be a blessing to you and to your family. So, and they're available over there. And now, coming out of shoot number two, speaking at light speed, a minimum of 20,000 words an hour, a minute. Here she comes, the one, the only. Give her a big welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. No. Just remember, tonight's payback. My message today is called Biblioclet. I'm so glad you all said it, because that was exactly what I wanted you to say. Nobody Google. Does anybody know what it means? B-I-B-L-I-O-K-L-E-P-T. Let's tear the word apart. Bibliotheque is library, which means books. Okay? Klept, it kind of comes from a lot of distinct words and goes back to the word kleptomaniac, which means thief. Biblioclept, was a very, 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 very common word that meant book thief. But how many honestly knew it? I kind of knew what it was because I could tear the syllables apart, but did you really know when I said it what it was? So what happened was a very, 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 very common everyday occurrence and an everyday thing that's real and documented fell by the wayside because people did not continue to use it properly. Ah. O-C-T-O-T-H-O-R-P-E. Octothorpe. Do you know what that is? It is eight something. Octo, perfect, right? But when I looked at it, it doesn't have eight sides of anything. You know what it is? Today, you know what we call it? Hashtag. Back in my day, it was called the pound sign. I had a guy working with us, and we had a little secretary in between us, and he was on one side, I was on the other, and she worked in the middle of us, and he had this intercom thing. His intercom was, hey, her name was Linda, and he'd say, Linda. My intercom was, wait, I get her first. And we were all screaming back and forth because none of us knew how to use the telephone intercom system. And so she finally said, okay, if you guys want me, all you have to do is pound five. So he said, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. Doesn't work. Yes, it does. It doesn't work. So she walked in his office. He's on the phone. And she said, hit pound five. He said, I've been pounding five. No kidding. We're not the smartest techs in the sea, right? So O-B-E-L-U-S. This one I should have gotten and I did not. It means a dividing sign, like in mathematics, the division sign. A-G-E-L-A-S-T is a person who never laughs. G-R-O-A-K. This one was creepy. Staring at somebody while they're eating. Isn't that weird? These are words that are always used that have come to nothing. S-N-O-W-B-R-O-T-H. You guys just had it. Snow broth. It actually means when a beautiful blanket of snow is on the ground, at the point it begins to melt. So these are all words that we all should know, but don't. Twitter light, do you know what that means? It's a particular time of day. That is not what anybody under the age of 18 would have thought I meant. T-R-A-T-T-L-E, gossip. And monsterful means extraordinary and wonderful. Mark 7:13, shall the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect? The traditions of man have desecrated words and made them to no effect because throughout the course of time, they thought they knew better. They could replace with something cooler, newer, fresher, younger, more hip, more this, more that, more beady, bumpy, leafy, and lumpy. And before you know it, the word of God had taken such a twist that Twitter then meant a time of day. Twitter now means get on your phone and see what the president's saying. I mean, it really does. That's where it's at right now. One of the translations of Mark 7:13, I put a bunch of them together. So you nullify, cancel, make obsolete, or ignore the word of God in order to hand down your own translations. You invalidate the word of God because of your own traditions. Prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T and P-R-O-F-I-T. God wants us to prosper. And part of prospering means profit. And sometimes it takes a prophet to teach us how to profit. A P-R-O-P-H-E-T to teach us how to P-R-O-F-I-T. But he said a funny thing to me that I'll remember forever. He said, too many ministries are nonprofit. Think about that for just a minute. Shall the opinions of man make the word of God, here's the quote, lost in tradition. Wow. The Greek word for prosper, I'm not even going there. It means a prosperous journey, a successful journey on the road of life. It means to favor, render successful, be successful, succeed, to be fortunate, prosperous, thrive, make, to gain, to grow, and to increase. And do you know translations of that and offshoots of that word in just the King James and the New American Standard, in just those two translations, add up to 130 times. So for people who say that's not in the Bible, well, you only missed it a little bit by 130 times. I mean, for heaven's sake, how many? Yeah, were any of you one of those kids that when Mama talked, you didn't even blink? You acted like you didn't hear? Richard Lee Roberts has cornered the market. When I am importantly, I made that word up, using my 20,000 words a day, and as he says, with gusts up to 30,000, and he can stare right at my face and not hear one of them. And when I say something, did you hear me? He'll say, were you talking? And he means it. Because why? He can tune me out perfectly. So he calls it selective hearing. He said, I'm operating in my selective hearing gift. Sometimes we try to operate in our selective hearing in the church. But if there's 130 different translations of the word prophet, and it comes from the word to prosper, why do we let the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect? It means to thrive, prosper, flourish, highly flourish, fly high, to make a point, prosper, booming, very lively, very profitable, flourishing in your business. And when you take that and you go to the word of God, we have to make, probably in this day and age, more than ever, a conscious decision that you are in the world and you're not of it. And yes, the traditions of man are going to try and talk you out of the word of God in order to propagate their own agenda. And sometimes their agenda is scary to the bone. Here's the problem. When something happens, sickness, sin, sorrow, disease, fear, poverty, and you go to the people that you're listening to, don't be surprised if they have selective hearing and don't pay a bit of attention to you, and they've taken everything that you prospered with and run off with it. What does the Word of God say? I'm really weird about this, but I like to point everything back to the Word of God because I'm not that good at, how can I say, defending. I was never on the debate team. I would panic in my senior year of college. It's really strange for me to be standing up here talking because I couldn't speak in public. When I was in law school, I never raised my hand. I never stood up. I never talked. And I did my very best to be invisible. All through college, they had a thing called, I don't know why they make you take this. Oh, for heaven's sake, when will you ever use it? It was called Speech 101, freshman speech. And I waited until my senior year of college, and I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it until I thought, you know, that degree really is important, so I'm going to have to stand up there and do something. So my speech teacher said, I know what you're going through, and I'll make you a deal. What if I bring my little dog, and you make a speech about something that you really, really, really are interested in? You can hold my dog, and it was a little tiny 3-pound Yorkie, cutest dog you've ever seen. And she said, make a speech, have all kinds of props, posters, everything. And she said, and hold my dog, and while you do, get the words out, and I will pass you. And I said, okay, I can do that. So I decided one of the biggest things I was just horrified of was snakes. So I had these giant pictures of snakes and giant posters, and I thought if I stood just strategically right, like here are the posters, you could kind of almost just see my elbow, and then I'd move to the next one and move to the next one, and they wouldn't see me, they'd see the posters. I had it all worked out. So she came in and she handed me her dog. And I was shaking so badly that I was squeezing the dog and shaking like this. And she said, hold on just a minute. She came up and whispered in my ear, if you will put my dog down, I will pass you. Now go away. I put the dog down, she passed me, and I walked away. Because I'm not cut out for that kind of debate. So if the debate from the devil and some of his agents, even if they are in the form of Christians, and he starts whispering in their ear, and the traditions of man have made the word of no effect, even if they're godly people, they're listening to the wrong voices and making the wrong choices, when that happens, I don't want to say I think. Because for me, I'd be shaking with the little tiny dog in my hand. I want the word of God to speak for itself. Then it's not traditions of man. Then it's not my opinion. And then I don't get myself into some serious hot water that somebody who is a great speaker, a fast talker, and someone who really can take the Bible and make just enough twist of it, which is called the devil himself, I'll lose that battle. So for me, the best way for me to do it is get in the Word of God. So if God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, I'm going to give you scriptures today that the traditions of man cannot refute it. A hashtag is a hashtag. That's where we are. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's not supposed to change yesterday, today, or forever. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, are you part of that prosperity camp? My goodness, he's used it twice in that one verse. I'm not a camper. Oh, for heaven's sake, to think I would be out there with snakes and bugs on the ground and they could be crawling up near me. I probably, if I were, I would never, first of all, I would never sleep. Second of all, I would never go there. And third of all, I would probably die on the campground floor thinking that some snake is coming after me when they're probably not 100 miles away. It doesn't work for me. So I'm not a camper. I'm not part of the prosperity camp. I'm part of the Bible. I'm not part of the healing camp. Are you part of the healing camp? Oh, no, I'm part of the sickness and disease camp, you fool. So, camping stuff is not my cup of tea. Now, if you can find one of those cool campers that they pop up and it's got electricity in it and it's got heat in it and I can sit and bake a pie, ooh la la, I'm in. But beyond that, no, no. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper. It's a Greek word that means help along the road, a successful journey on the road of life. If somebody tells you the word prosperity is not in the Bible, so you're telling me that God does not want me to succeed on my journey on life. So by becoming a Christian, I have set myself up for failure for the entire rest of my life. So the thing about that bothers me, the thing about it that gets my attention is, why would you think, if you've read anything at all from Genesis to Revelation, why would you think God set you up for failure? He put all the gold and silver in the earth and he told you to subdue it, but you watch everybody else on television walk away with your limo. Meanwhile, you're driving a car that if the donut on the tire fails, you're toast. But that's not the Bible. But then there's those people that are telling you what the Bible says. And my job is to put enough seed into you. Their job is not only put seed into you, but as pastors, they're going to water it. And your job is to let it blossom and live in it so much so that while they're criticizing you all the way to the bank, you have that kind of hearing that just goes pew right over your head. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you have a successful journey on your road of life. Prosper means grow, increase, thrive, to make gain, to gain in business, to have success and favor. Now listen, if anybody doesn't believe in favor, which is all throughout the Bible, how can the word prosperity be translated to the word favor, and God likes favor, but he doesn't like prosperity? To me, I'm sorry, but I can't make logical sense out of that. And God is not the kind of person, he said he's not double-minded. A double-minded man, prosper, don't prosper, healing camp, sickness camp, is unstable in all of his ways. So when you look at Joshua 1:8, shall the book of the law not depart from your mouth? But you meditate on it therein day and night. You observe and do according to what is written therein, for then it will make your way prosperous. Listen, I've only read two verses, and it's got it in there three times. And you shall have good success. Here's my deal. If somebody comes and says prosperity is not in the Bible, then you have a Bible right to say, oh, well, I pray for you to fail in Jesus' name. In fact, let's have a double portion. In fact, I bless you with 30, 60, and 100 times failure in the name of Jesus. And they'll look at you like you have three heads, but they have just pronounced on you that if prosperity is not in the Bible, the only flip side to that word is poverty. And I'm not going there. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we see the world that was called into existence by God's word. And he created everything with what we don't see. Now, real simple, living from the inside out. You've got to see it on the inside for it to manifest on the outside. Isaiah 26:3, I love this verse because for me, peace not only means nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace actually translates destroying the stronghold that's creating the chaos. That's a tough, tough, tough definition. Destroying the stronghold that creates the chaos. If you have chaos in your life and you want Calgon to take you away, that's peace for 37 minutes. But when it comes back, you still have the stronghold coming against you. Peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. It also means that you have a Bible right for God to destroy the stronghold, the devil, creating the chaos. Not people, the devil. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him. Watch what you think, and for God's sake, watch who you trust. Psalm 48:4-8, the peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. You have a Bible right to go down, fall asleep, and have peace. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Jeremiah 17:14. Okay, so, I'm sorry, but I just love this book. Have you ever seen, she knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen that book called Typing for Dummies? Have you ever seen the book called Computer for Dummies? I have like a whole row of those books. The Internet for Dummies. I'm like, hey, I have a whole file. Which one do you want? I have them in alphabetical order. But this verse negates all of that. Jeremiah 17:14. I'm sorry, but when people say, I'm not of the healing camp. I'm not of the prosperity camp. This one is one of those. I'm okay, I can't say for dummies, but I'm going to let you think it anyway. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. How hard is that? Save me, O Lord, and I'll be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I'll be saved. That word is sozo, S-O-Z-O, and it means the totality of completeness for everything you have need of in your life. How can you... How can you miss that one? Jeremiah 17 for dummies. Rick, do I have to repent over that? I repent. So, I'm sorry, but that's just funny. Are you of that healing camp? Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Yes. I mean, okay, so maybe you're not going to use a word like biblioclept, but come on. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I'll be saved. How can you miss that one? Enough said. It's still funny, isn't it? I know, right? Where's my buddy on that? It's still funny, right? Psalm 68:19, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits. You know what loadeth us up means? Piles on. Pile them on, Lord. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy. How many of you have read the 23rd Psalm? So when my kids were little and all through their life, I made them memorize 40 scriptures. And every day we would repeat them and then add to them. When we hit 40, we'd add more. Psalm 103:1-5 was one scripture. The 91st Psalm was one scripture. And we would do 40 a night. We had a 2-hour getting ready for bedtime. And one of them, the 23rd Psalm, was one scripture. And we did 40 a night. So they were learning the word of God. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, here's what it means. Surely goodness, good, rich, glad, happy, prosperous, excellent, understanding, wealth, and favor shall follow me all the days of my life. Come on, guys, let's take a hike. And if somebody wants to get in the way, I don't care, because you see my pals hanging out with me? Our goodness and mercy, good, rich, happy, glad, prosperous, excellent, understanding, wealth, and favor. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right there. Can't miss it. Didn't write it. Just repeating it. James 1:7. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light. I don't know about you, but I did not consider a cancer diagnosis a good and perfect gift. If you think sickness is from God and healing is somebody else's camp, you sit in my room on the telephone when I got that diagnosis. And if that's poverty, if that's God's highest and best for me, you just take it and go home with it. Because that is something I never want to see again as long as I live and breathe on this earth. If you're not part of the healing camp, do me a favor. Get out of my camp. Because I have to deal with this life according to God's word. And I don't want anything else. And if some negative somebody comes in with, you're not part of that healing and prosperity camp. Oh, yes, I am. Get out of my campground. Simple as that. Get your own camp. Go away. So I haven't got time for somebody to bring that junk into my spirit. Do you know how hard I had to work to get up off the floor when I got diagnosed with? He was there. My knees went right. I don't know where my knees went. So I'm not going to say that that was my gift from God. If it's my gift from God, oh my. Oh my. James 1:5, if any one of you lack wisdom, I love this one. Let him ask of God. He gives to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth. That means doesn't criticize. It shall be given to him. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Isaiah 60. Did you bring your Bible? Either my phone or your Bible. I don't care which. Do you have your Bible? You're always in my corner. Thank you. Isaiah 60. Will you find it for me, please? Oh, he found it first. Thank you very much. Oh my, look at all those translations. Okay, so thank you. Arise, shine. Oh, listen to this. Arise from the depression and prostration in which the circumstances have kept you. Rise up to a new life. Shine, be radiant. This is amplified, Isaiah 60. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Hello, we're there. And gross darkness cover the people. Oh, my word, hello. Was this written yesterday? But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. Now listen to this. Ding, ding, ding. And all nations shall come to your light. He's not talking about God. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. That's a small y. That's not God. That's not a big G. It's a small y. It's your light. And the glory of God has risen upon you. All nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Kings, to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about you and see. He said, lift up your eyes around about you and see, because we're not looking in the right places. Talk about looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for God in all the wrong places. What did I say the other day? Don't go to Goliath for advice on David's ministry. He doesn't see it the same way. Lift up your eyes round about you and see that they will gather themselves together. They will come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Your daughter shall come and be carried and nursed at your arms. Then shall you be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy. When is the last time your heart was thrilling and trembling with joy? At the glorious deliverance, you'll be enlarged because of the abundant wealth. I didn't write that. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Didn't write it. The sea shall be turned to you, and the nations shall come with their treasures. Didn't write that. He said the nations shall come with their treasures to you. If you don't want to be a part of that prosperity camp, remember I told you I have a really unique sense of direction? But you just tell them, get on the road called Lindsay. I'll be happy to meet them there. A multitude of camels from the eastern trading tribe shall come to you. Camels from Midian and Ephah and the men from Sheba. Let's talk about that in a minute. And it said, who once came to trade shall come bring gold. You know what gold translates? Gold. Gold.
Gold.
Proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Now hold that thought and just jump over to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal. If he's against healing in that healing camp, why does it say heal in Isaiah 60? And that's Old Testament before Jesus ever went to the cross. Hello, change camps. Real simple. Pack up that thing and drive it off. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, there's that word again, and the day of vengeance. Remember, I told you we don't get into revenge, but vengeance means God balancing the scales of justice. He said, I hate injustice. And when he balances the scale of justice, it is with the recompense of reward, where you don't think about what's happened to the other guy and what they did to you, but instead how God, it means how God evens the score in your life, and he makes sure that you are rewarded for everything you've ever lost. Change camps, and to grant joy to those who mourn, and to give the ornament of the of beauty instead of ashes, the oil instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of heavy. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. Thank you for your Bible. Oh wait, it's a Bible. The Word of God, not the traditions of men. So it says the camels come. And we know that the camels came from Sheba, and we know the queen of Sheba. I wish I could meet her. The queen of Sheba was like perhaps the most blessed woman in the civilized and uncivilized universe at the time. So what did she do? She heard of Solomon's greatness. In fact, it said Solomon's fame went out to her. Here's the cool thing. Guess what? Solomon didn't send it out. He was too busy. The king was in his counting house counting all his money. He was too busy. You know, he was so busy counting his gold that they never bothered to count his silver. That's scriptural. Wouldn't you like just like the leftovers? Roll a little down Lindsay Lane here. So the queen of Sheba heard, and she really realized, because it said that he was glorifying God. She knew that he was the wisest, richest man at the time, but what she didn't understand was the whole process of it, and he's giving glory to God. And so she wanted to find out, how are you doing this? And is this just rumor? Is this just something? I want to find out. But when you want something from somebody, have you ever heard of a hostess gift? Don't go to a party where they've invited you with all the other stuff and not bring a hostess gift. Even if it's a flower. My daughters don't go out without a hostess gift. Why? Because I taught them that. If you want to receive something and you want to do it properly, you walk in with a hostess gift. Her hostess gift was camels with clothing and spices and gold. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's rethink this whole. He was the wealthiest man on earth. He didn't need her teacups, he didn't need her spices, and he didn't need her clothing, and he didn't need her silver. He didn't have time to count his own. But she knew that in order to do it right, in order to be a receiver, you first must be a giver. It doesn't say take and it shall be given unto you. It says give. People think, oh, you just want something. Well, really, yes. I want you to be blessed according to God's system. And if you want to do it according to God's system, you must give to receive. You must sow to reap. You must plant to harvest. Didn't write it, just repeated it. So she knew the essence of how etiquette was for that day, and she loaded camels full. She brought so much thinking, maybe I can impress him when I ask him some questions. You read the Bible and remember what it said when she came into his area and saw all that he has? She fainted. He had so much, she passed out. She fainted. Oh, that's a cute car. Oh, my word. Boom, she hit the deck. I brought you a little gold. Oh, my word. Boom, she hit the deck. I brought you a cute new outfit. Boom, she hit the deck. She fainted. He had so much that even the wisest, wealthiest woman at the time fainted. That had to be a lot. But what happened was she wanted to know how he did it. What was his relationship with God that created all of that? And the Bible is very clear about one thing. It says when Solomon worshiped God, his fame went out. It didn't say he sought an advisor. It didn't say he went and he got a PR group. It didn't say that he went on social media. It didn't say that he sought out who could make him look good in front of everybody. He didn't say any of that. Listen, I'm all for social media. How else are you going to hear some stuff? You can filter out the junk, get the good. I'm all for that. But what it said for the wisest, wealthiest, healthiest man on earth was that he worshiped God. And when he worshiped God, God let his fame spread. Yeah. He did not have the internet. Yeah. And it spread all the way to the Queen of Sheba. He didn't do anything but worship God. And all the time he's worshiping God, Sheba's saying, get your camels, get your provision, get your clothes, get your jewelry, get this, get load it all up. And when we do what God calls us to do, and we are willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. So he's willing and obedient in honoring God, worshiping God, blessing God. Listen, he's the wisest, wealthiest guy on earth. He could have taken a time out. No, he worshiped God. And as he worshiped God, God whispered in the ear of the Queen of Sheba and said, load it down, honey. I want to teach you something. And when God said, load it down, all Solomon did was worship God, and the provision came to him. He didn't even have to go. He didn't even have to leave his little seat. Nothing. He didn't leave his campground. He just sat there worshiping God, and they came to him. I believe when we worship God, we attract all that God has for us. Arise, shine. It means, in English, it's an understood you. You arise. You shine. And it means arise, get up, shine, be illuminated. And, say you'll still love me after I read this. Make a choice to walk out of darkness. But you don't know. No, yes, I do. But you've never. Yes, I have. But you. You want to bet? You want to bet? Honey, if I told you some of the things that I've been through, you would not believe me. Why? Because people that go through what I've been through don't stand up here and preach the word of God. Usually, if Satan has his way, they die a death. I refuse. Because I made a choice to walk out of darkness. You want to know what I said when I came out of surgery and knowing that God had healed me, knowing that. Do you remember what I pulled the covers down and said?
I'm not dead.
I'm not dead. I'm in the land of the living. I pulled the covers down and I said, I'm not dead. It's time for us to stand up and say, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm walking out of darkness. And guess what? You know what my job is? To take somebody with me so he can take somebody with him. Amen. So they can take us all together.
Amen.
Get up. Shine. Quit whining, griping, and complaining. Walk out of darkness. Use your 20,000 words with gusts up to 30,000. Walk out of darkness and shine. 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 Shine in Jesus' name. And thank you. It means be illuminated and make a choice to walk out of darkness for the glory. The overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit is upon you. You know, you don't have to look very far to figure out where you are. You're there. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. And as the glory and the light shines, What did that say in Isaiah 60? People are attracted to the light. The camels, the people, the provision, God, Sheba, they all showed up. They were the bugs. Anybody who knows anything about bugs is bugs are attracted to the light. Why? They know what they need. If you'll be the light, you'll be attractive to the people who know what they need. Provision showed up, and as we move forward and walk in the presence of God, the cool part about it is that we can bring somebody else with us. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon anybody who has the guts, and don't kid yourself, when you're preaching the word in this day and age, it takes a lot of guts. But if you'll live and walk in that light as he is in the light, the cool thing about it is you will attract those bugs. You may not ever get them saved, but don't be shocked when they show up. Just walk in the light. Shall the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need to go back and find words like biblioclept or octothorpe or obleus or groke. Ew, watching people as they eat. Snow broth. Traddle. You know what God says about traddle. You know what he says about gossip. Twitter light. I love that one. I think that's my favorite. It's just fun to say. It rolls right off the tongue. Perfect. Or monster fill. Okay, so those words have become obsolete. But I tell you what, Isaiah 60 isn't. Isaiah 61 isn't. And if we'll stay with the word of God, we won't become obsolete. We won't become unimportant. And you know what? It is that crazy saying, you will be laughing all the way to the bank. The bank of prosperity, the bank of healing, the bank of blessing, the bank of health and wealth and wise, healthy, wealthy, and wise in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, today I thank you for Isaiah 60. I thank you for Isaiah 61. It is time for us to arise and shine and live in the glory of the Lord and let the bugs come to us and not change what we believe, not change what the word of God says. I am not moved by the traditions of man, and I will not let them make the word of God to no effect. But in the name of Jesus, Lord, here am I. Send me. And Lord, the Bible says, send your prosperity now. Send your prosperity now. Not another night with the frogs, by the self same hour, by this time tomorrow. Listen, I am really, 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 really not the most patient person on earth. Go figure, I bet you knew that. But I want it now. And he said, send the prosperity now. Healthy, wealthy, and wise now. Get healed now. Get prospered now. Not another night with the frogs in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand up. Let's pray for whatever it is that seems to be taking you on another journey. And we're going to break it off of you. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is. And you call its name. It doesn't matter to me, but it might matter to you. Whether it's sickness, disease, sin, sorrow, fear, a family member, lack of family member, whatever it is. The name that you speak, remember the name of Jesus is above every name named in heaven and earth. And at the name you speak, when we speak the name of Jesus, anything you say has to bow. Bow. Bow to what? Kingdom authority. But if you don't get up and make a choice to walk out of darkness, I can't help you. But if you get up and make a choice to walk out of darkness, you can take us all with you. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, that whatever it is that's hindering healthy, wealthy, and wise, it may be your thinking, it may be your past, it may be your present, it may be your future, but it's the Bible. Walk out of darkness. And we break any darkness off of you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. We break off retaliation spirits. We break off the power of the devil. We break off Satan coming against our family, our finances, our friends, our life, our home, our health. We break it off. Break it off. Break it off. And we thank Father God for healthy, wealthy, and wise. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and have a successful journey on your road of life full of healthy, wealthy, and wise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen means so let it be written, so let it be established. Shout amen. 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 Amen.